Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Welcome back. This is episode 246 of the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast. I'm Sean Penrod, your host, and I hope you had a fantastic weekend. I hope you got out there and played some Magic. There was not a Grand Prix or any other, you know, big event to note, but I hope that you were able to get out there and play something for yourself, either with some friends or Friday Night Magic or what have you. Just get out there and play some Magic. I know I'm having a blast in our Prodigy Sealed League. We're doing an Ixalan Sealed League right now with the Prodigies, and it's a lot of fun to see what's coming out. There's aggro decks, anti-aggro decks. So far, there seems to be a pretty diverse amount of decks, so it's been really fun to do that. I look forward to finishing out my rounds, and win or lose, cheering on those who are doing great to victory. So yeah, if you're interested in joining us in the next Sealed League, then join our Facebook group, mtgpro2.com/Facebook group. We always announce the league there. We do one per set, and it's just a good opportunity to play some Magic with some good-natured folk around the world and win some real prizes. The first place prize, of course, is provided by Paragon City Games, the sponsor of the show. I want to thank them for their support. They provide the giveaways for the patrons, which we do each and every month, as well as the prize for the winner of the league, like I just mentioned. So they're awesome. Check out ParagonCityGames.com to see what they're all about. And I also can't go without thanking the patrons who make the show possible. It's really because of the direct support of the patrons that the show goes on. If it weren't for them, then this just straight up wouldn't happen. So thank you so much, patrons, for your support. If you want to become a patron, you go to mtgpro2.com/Patreon, where you can learn more about that. Basically, if you like the show and want to give back in some way, shape, or form, then that's a good place to check out. Beyond that, we have two Grand Prix this weekend, GP Liverpool and GP Phoenix. So for any and all Prodigies who are attending these, good luck. Can't wait to hear all about your exploits and your tales, and I look forward to interviewing you on the show. So go forth and do good things. We've had one patron turn guest so far, and I'm definitely anxious to have the next one on. So good luck, and keep us posted. That's really it for the top of the interview stuff. We have a fantastic returning guest, which is always fun. So without further ado, let's bring him in, sit down, and talk about Magic. What's up, everybody? I'm super, super excited to have our guest with us today. Our guest is a Spanish Magic player with 6 Grand Prix top 8s, including 2 wins, 4 Pro Tour top 16s, and just recently placed 2nd in the 2017 Magic Worlds Championship. Coming to us from Palau de Plegamas, Prodigies Near and Far, let's welcome back the one, the only, Javier Dominguez. Javier, how are you doing today?
Great. I'm just preparing the next PT at the moment, so yeah.
Ooh, excellent. We'll dive into that for sure. And are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take their game to the next level?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Now, Prodigies, if you want to connect with Javier, you can do so on Twitter. He's at Thalay, which I'll spell for you. It's T-H-A-L-A-I-E. So you can find him there and connect with him on Twitter. So if you notice in the bio, I said, welcome back, Javier Dominguez. So Javier is actually a past guest of the show way back on episode 47. So Javier, just so you know, you are going to be episode 246. So almost like literally 200 episodes ago, we had you on the show, which is pretty crazy. That was November of 2015. So it's been 2 years. And back then, Javier, you had 2 Grand Prix top 8s with 1 win, and now you have 6. And then you had 3 Pro Tour top 16s, and now you have 4 with a 2nd place at Worlds. So you've been quite busy doing a lot of really cool things, and that's what we want to dive into now. We want to talk about what you've been up to for the past couple of years, and we'll dive into Worlds for sure. But let's go back, and again, so 2015, we had you on the show. What have you been up to in the last couple of years, whether that's with Magic or if you have a new life situation? Just kind of catch us up.
Well, things definitely had changed a lot since then, because after some months after the interview, I started playing more Magic because I was trying to become a gold. Uh-huh. Because last time we talked, I was silver. So that year I was close to gold. So I've been taking Magic more seriously. And I'm pretty happy, like the results, you know, they came, because sometimes you work hard and then you don't get there in the tournament, and it can be a little bit frustrating. But after those 2 years, I look back, and I think things went really well for me. So I'm definitely happy.
Yeah, no kidding. I'll say they went well. So what did you do? You said so you started playing more Magic. What did that look like? Like you just, you know, went to more events, or you started playing online four times a week instead of 2? Like, so what did it actually mean when you stepped up your Magic play?
Yeah, I mostly started playing more magic as well, but the big difference is that I spend more time trying to become better. Like, not only, you know, just playing, but to talk with people and just think about the game and think how it could become better, because I think that's how you improve your game. Because there's a point, like, if you play enough, you don't really learn a lot just playing. You have to share point of views and just read articles, listen podcasts or whatever. You have to, you know, get more information. So that's something I started doing, and I'm still doing nowadays. Mm-hmm. I just try to gather all the information that's available for me.
Excellent. So, and you've achieved gold since then?
Yeah, I achieved gold, I think, in 2016. Okay. And then last year, I got platinum.
Ooh,
which was
excellent.
Yeah, it was a little bit unexpected for me, because for that year, my goal was gold. But since I got there, like, half the season, a little bit after the half the season, so I was like, well, might as well try.
Wow, excellent.
And yeah, yes, it was good.
So this season right now, you're platinum?
Yep.
Excellent. And so remind us, what does that mean? You get invites to all the Pro Tours for the season?
Yes, and also, yeah, I think there's also some other benefits, but mostly that. And I also get got buys in the Nationals.
Oh, <I didn't>. Yeah. Nice. Very nice. So buys in Nationals, get to go to invites to all the Pro Tours, which, paid travel, appearance. Do you get appearance fees for GPs?
Yes, for the first six ones.
For six ones, yeah. Yeah. Excellent.
So it's definitely good. Like,
yeah,
I think
yeah.
It's like the level where... Where like all the best players want to be.
Right.
So
it's their professional program, like, and that's what, you know, they have those nice things so that hopefully people can actually, you know, play Magic on a serious level, you know? So yeah, that's good.
Yes, yes.
That's good.
Yeah, it was definitely cool for me to get there.
Yeah, wow. And then you got, wow, that's excellent. So here we are. You mentioned right at the beginning that you're preparing for the next Pro Tour, which is Ixalan, coming up here in what, a couple weeks? Three weeks or so? So
I think it's 2.5, yeah.
Okay. So I'd love to dive into that, because it's kind of fun to have an interview coming out so soon, or an episode coming out so soon after the interview. Let's talk current stuff. Ixalan, what do you think? What's going on? Like, what are some of your impressions? Because I know a lot of people are loving the set, but are really kind of still trying to figure things out.
I think Ixalan, I agree with the part of it being worse than our devastation on Amonkhet, but I don't think that means Ixalan is bad. I just think those sets for... I'm talking limited play, of course. I think those sets were great, not because they were like special great, but because they had the cycling. I just think cycling is... probably the best mechanic for limited, because it just makes the games more interesting and more important. It just takes out the worst part of limited, which is like a lot of games are like no games. When one player stacks on two lands or draws too many lands, those things happen to a lot in limited compared to constructed. And that's why some people prefer to play constructed or unlimited. And I think cycling mitigates this a lot. So I think that's why Amonkhet was great. An outer station, and I think Ixalan does not have cycling, so sometimes it feels like meh when you lose that way. But I think that's the first thing you can see. But if you get past that, I think Ixalan is very deep, and I think it's a very very good format. I think drafting is a very interesting experience, because you have to choose between the tribes and the archetypes, and that's actually more important than colors, because sometimes you are playing white. And your neighbor is playing white as well, but they're playing a different white deck, and you're actually in a good position. So I think that's good. Also, you have to fight for playables sometimes, which is something I somewhat enjoy.
So, can you break down your thoughts on the tribes? You know, rack 'em, stack 'em. Tell us what you think, pros and cons, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, but you mean like overall?
Yeah, your take on all the tribes.
Yeah, I think the drives all around are cool for drafts. Like, I think they might get old in some weeks of drafting or maybe some months. So there's probably less things to explore compared to our devastation, where on the end of the draft, we were seeing a lot of control decks with Approach of the Second Sun and this stuff, like in drafting. But in the drives, I think they're clearly doing what they want, what they're looking like to do. I mean, Merfolk is going to attack. The vampires are going to be an attrition deck, and dinosaurs are probably the most interesting one. I think dinosaurs are better, under my point of view in terms of design, because it's not clear. Like, you can play dinosaurs aggro, you can play dinosaurs defense with 8 drops or whatever, whereas all the other tribes, pirates are obviously going to be attacking because of raid, Merfolk's the same, so I think all of them are aggressive, but vampires. But I think dinosaurs is the one I like more. And in terms of strategy, I don't really love Merfolk, but I think all of them are like same level. And the Korok tribe is the one that's not being drafted near you. So the one that's open is the one you should be in. So I don't think it's really about color preference or tribe preference.
Are there, so the tribe that's open is the one that you should be in. How do you determine that? Are there some key cards that you can throw at us that say, hey, if this tribe comes fifth pick, then I should go there? Some big signals that you've noticed as you've drafted Ixalan?
I think the uncommons are the good way to see the signals, or maybe rares. But like, if you get a good uncommon of your tribe from pick 3 or 4, you can be pretty sure the tribe is probably open because there's not enough cards someone would pick over them if they were playing that tribe. Okay. So I think that's where I look more.
Cool. And you said in this that you have to sometimes fight for playables, which you find kind of fun. What are some of the top playables? Like, you know, if you open up, you know, in the first or second pick, what are some of the ones that are just like, oh yeah, this card's definitely doing well right now?
2/3 Dinosaur, the white one. The Hammer Skull. I love that guy.
Hammer Skull? Okay. Cool. Very fun. Ah, fun stuff. So you are training, or you're preparing for the Ixalan Pro Tour. Who are you preparing with? Like, do you have a team? Like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I'm playing with my testing team, which is like MTG, Minkar, and Araruya players. So it's like Lushitian, Saito, Simon Nelson, Amenguchi, Christian Colcano, Kelvin Chiu, Jason Chang, Sen Takahashi, Anthony Lee. And I think I'm forgetting someone, but I don't remember who it is. Sajalik, a lot of Sajalik as well. That's a pretty big team.
That's a great team. Those are really good players.
Yeah, I've been testing with them this year, and I'm very happy. I'm definitely 100% sure I got there to Platinum, and now I'm a better player than I was before, thanks to them. So I'm very happy with being able to play with those guys.
Nice. Are you on track for Platinum this year, this season?
Well, I'm on 12 points, so probably, but it's always on the PT, so I will know that after the PT. If I make a decent PT, like a X6 or A5, X5, I will be on track to Platinum, but it's going to be hard.
And Ixalan is the first Pro Tour of this season, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So you've just been doing a couple, you know, you've done some Grand Prix and some other events, but it really comes down to how well you perform at the Pro Tour to whether or not you stay on Platinum.
Yeah, I mean, all the Grand Prix and the stuff are good to, like, put like the final points, but the big part of the points has to be in the Pro Tour. Yeah, they are the most important tournaments overall. So, well, yeah. I mean, Worlds is important too, but Worlds gave me some points as well. So
yeah, that's fine. And that makes sense. So it's actually pretty smartly designed, you know, system where if you just go to Grand Prix, you can make, you know, silver, right? Which will kind of get you an invite to the Pro Tour. So it kind of gets you, you know, on there. But then, like, once you start going to the Pro Tour, if you start doing well, then that's how you get all the points that you need to grab gold or platinum or whatever. So it's actually really well designed to get people into the Pro Tour, and then you have to do well at the Pro Tour to stay on the Pro Tour. So they did put some brains behind the system when they set it up. So that's kind of cool. Sweet.
Yeah, so, I like the system.
Yeah. So we mentioned just recently that you got second place at the 2017 Worlds Championship. So that's awesome. I remember going and watching, and, you know, I love watching past guests do great things. So it's so cool to cheer you on and see you go so far and do so well. So we'd love to dive into that. Tell us about that experience. So back us up to, you know, how you were preparing, how you chose what to play and all that stuff. So take us a little bit before Worlds and tell us what it looked like as you were getting ready.
Okay. Well, when I started playing for Worlds, I knew I was going to be like one of the underdogs, you know, because the opposition was super, super skilled. So I easily thought that drafting certain combinations were going to be good for me. That was my first thought on testing. But after I started drafting more, I realized that just would not work because you cannot force in Ixalan, because if they cut you something, you're just, you know, going to be ending with an unplayable deck. Mm-hmm. So I had to prepare draft more than what I expected. So that led me a little bit short on time for Constructed. And since I was playing red the whole season, I played that in PT or Clever Station. And after that, on the GPs, I played mono red as well. So I played a lot of mono red. I decided to stick to the deck I knew most, which was mono red, of course. And that's why I ran in that into the tournament. Also, when I was testing with my friends for the tournament, like Marcio, Calvin, Kalkan, and Shitian, which were my team for the Wolves, I was like losing a lot of matchups from both sides. And that probably meant I wasn't playing them very well. But I was, you know, beating almost anyone with mono red. Mm-hmm. So that's why I just play whatever works for you. That's what I did from the tournament, and it worked in the tournament as well. So.
That's excellent. I love that realization that you had, that you were aware enough to say, hey, you know, I'm going to, you know, in testing, I'm going to just play these archetypes that work for me because they work for me. And then you realize, hey, forcing does not work. You know, so I need to spend more time on limited, and that was a good call. But you recognize that it took time away from Constructed. You had less time to do that. So you just went with what you knew and started playing red. I think that's really great. I think that's a good, you know, one, good recognition, two, good balance of, you know, your preparation time. And obviously, you know, it paid off for you, and that's really cool. And so I just encourage people to be aware of the time they have to practice and where they're spending it, and focus on what you need the most, and then go with what you're familiar with on the other side. You know, so if you're in a set that, you know, forcing does work, for example, or there's a draft archetype that you know that you can pretty much always get, then maybe you spend more of your time in Constructed, and in your case, vice versa. So that's really neat that that's how you picked it, and that's what you went with. And so when you went to the event, give us some of the highlights. What were some of the things that stood out to you in the first day, for example?
Well, first I expected it to be more like a PT where you just play like good players all around on the matches, but all this, the scenario was super cool, and all the players, every single one of them, was super friendly. That's something, for some reason, I didn't expect. Like, I never thought it would be otherwise, but that strikes me to me like the most remarkable thing of the day one. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, everyone is so friendly, and they are so good at the same time. So this is a pleasant tournament to play in.
Awesome.
And they won, didn't go very well. I went 4-3, but still, when I was going back to the hotel, I was like super happy, like, hey, this tournament is being awesome.
Yeah, okay, cool. And real quick, how did you get invited to Worlds?
I got invited on Pro Points.
Okay. So,
55 Pro Points.
Okay. And that is different per country, is that right?
No, I think it's like the...
Oh, no, that's national.
I got
that's
in at large.
Okay.
Yeah, national. Yeah, so I won at large.
Got it. Okay.
I don't know the name.
So based on your pro points, you got an invitation to Worlds, and you show up, and everyone's friendly on day one, which is always nice, always cool. You went 4-3 day one, so then what happened day two?
Well, day two I had to go X2, I think, for making... like, I didn't know that. I just was playing the game. I started 1-2 in the first draft. Which was a very difficult draft for me. And after that, I just, you know, decided, like, just let's play. Try to enjoy the rest of the tournament. Try to win as many points as I could. And after winning two games, Brian Deborah Marshall comes to me and he says, let's talk a little bit for the coverage. And I'm, okay, cool. And then he says, how do you feel about being tied for second at this point of the tournament?
Wait, what?
And I'm like, what? I literally went like, what? Because I didn't know. Like, I thought, wow. I was like almost dead for top four. I was just playing.
Yeah, what
like,
was your record at that point?
X5.
X5. Like,
seven five. But we happened to be like XO, so there was no other people between XO and X5. And I was like, ooh. At that point, I was like, suddenly it was real. Like, I was playing like almost for top four if I won the two rounds.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then two matches more.
Wow. Hey, come over here. Let's have a chat. You had no idea. That's crazy. That's crazy that there was nobody between XO and then X5 was the next one. That's crazy. Wow. What a dynamic event.
Yeah, I think top four was like Hui, and then the second one, which was Uta Leighton, I think it was X5. So, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a big difference between first and second, the whole tournament, because here we just didn't lose in the weekend.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, that's a lot of fun. So, And what I want to, what I really took away right here was, you know, you started day one was 4-3 is what you said, right?
Yep.
Okay. And then, and then you started out day two with a couple more losses, but you stuck with it. You know, I know a lot of people that when they get those losses, like, oh, I can't do it. I can't. Oh, here's another loss, you know, and then they just kind of give up, and then they mentally check out, and then they lose more because of that, you know. And this is incredible that, you know, you didn't have like, oh, I'm like crushing it on day one, you know, and you still went all the way and got second place. So I think that's really, really cool and a good example of, you know, like you said, you know what, I'm just going to play, I'm just going to have fun. So you just sit down, play the games as best you can. Doesn't matter whether it's FNM or Worlds, you know, you can sit down, you can play, you can have fun on any venue. And regardless of your record before, you can still make good on the match you're playing right now. So did you do anything to kind of keep your mind clear, to keep, you know, focus on just this game and not let your past record, you know, affect how you played now?
I tried, but I failed from the last match. Yeah, I tried to use breath and be relaxed. Like, I pretend it was like another GP match or another match. But yeah, as I said, for the round 14, I think, yeah, I failed on that. I was super nervous. But all the other matches, I think it was okay, because round 3 of day 1, I think I lost a match where I should have played better, because I was super nervous at that point. Like, there was a lot of pressure. It was a very difficult game. And after I finished this game, I just realized I would not be able to play a good Magic tournament if I thought like that way. So I had to make sure I was, you know, just playing Magic. It's, I think if you manage to isolate yourself, just play the game and don't think where you are, that's the best way to, you know, avoid being nervous and feel the pressure and this stuff.
Yeah. Oh man, that's so cool. So what was the final round like, the final game? Tell us about that, how that went, and yeah.
You mean the finals?
Yeah.
Well, finals, I wasn't really super nervous at the game, because I just felt like I was super happy with what I'd already done. And at the same time, I felt like I didn't have a lot to lose, because I was happy with top two, but they had a lot to win. So I was like, let's just, you know, try to play my best in this game. And until like Sunday, I wasn't really nervous. It was my first Sunday, like top four playing for Worlds, or I never top EDPT, so it was my first Sunday appearance. I was surprised, like I wasn't nervous. I was like, yeah, I got there, so that's fine. Whatever happens, it's fine for me.
Wow.
So finals, I mean, they were difficult games, I think. I obviously reviewed them. I made some small mistakes, but that's okay. Like, whenever I watch a lot of games, a lot of small mistakes happens. So I definitely don't regret how I mean, I made some mistakes already, as I already said, but I think they were good games. Also, I think they are good for watching.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm happy with the finals.
Cool. Very cool.
Not super happy because I lost, but
yeah. But I mean, and this was your first Worlds?
Yes.
Wow. And you got second place in your first Worlds. Yeah. That's awesome. That's really cool. So now, what does that mean? Do you get pro points? You get what do you get for second place at Worlds?
I get 8 pro points, okay, which doesn't seem like a lot, but since they don't take like slots for GP or something, it's just like an extra.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot. That's like an extra GP victory. I think that's a lot. Like, yeah. And also, like, to me, it means a lot, because it means that I finally got there. Mm-hmm. It's not like, because I've been playing for a lot of time Magic. You know, I have a 2-9 place in the PT and this stuff. So I always felt like I was coming close to my to being, you know, winning a tournament or being successful in the tournament. So I didn't win the Worlds, but that second place to me feels like a victory.
Yeah.
So to me, it's a very important tournament. I'm pretty sure I'm going to remember it, like, for that experience forever.
Awesome.
I don't think this is the kind of thing you ever forget. So.
Yeah.
So yeah, that definitely meant a lot. Meant to me the reward for so much work, especially these 2 years where I've been putting a lot of energy trying to play better. So yeah.
So are you doing Magic full time?
Yeah, yep. I am now. Yes.
I mean, yeah, that's really cool. So second place, let's see. So you got those 8 pro points, the 50,000 prize, and then, like you said, the recognition, like being the Magic community now looks, hey, Javier, this guy, he's been doing stuff, and he's obviously a world-class player, and puts you on the radar for, you know, lots of growth and improvement moving forward. So that's really cool. That's really neat. So how are you going to leverage, how did I say this? So now that you have that, are you going to be able to, like, I don't know, change teams, or is there any benefit that you see that that comes from this, as far as maybe putting you in the running for you know, Hall of Fame or anything like that? Like, what impact does it have on your Magic career?
Well, I don't really know, to be honest, but I'm definitely gonna be more known for people, but I don't want to change team. Like, there's no team I would rather be over the one I'm playing with now, because I think they are very good, but they are also very friendly, and I really feel like we work super well together. Mm-hmm. So in terms of that, definitely not. Hall of Fame, well, I never, you know, had the goal of being Hall of Fame, so it's not really something that bothers me. I just take the voting really serious every year. Like, but other than that, like, I don't really know. I mean, some more extra people know me now in Spain, and I guess some people are going to know me if I go to GPs and this stuff, but I don't really think it's going to be a big change for me. I'm cool. Still the same guy.
Yeah.
I'm the same guy that enjoys playing Cube, Commander, and all this casual formats anyway. So, yeah, I mean, other than the satisfaction of, you know, being there, I don't think it's going to be a big changer for me.
Cool. Yeah, this is fun because, you know, we obviously Worlds only happens once a year. And so I know I'm unfamiliar with, you know, how it works. That's why I'm asking all these questions. And I don't really know how it's going to impact, you know, players moving forward. Obviously, I think the recognition is the big thing because, you know, we knew you from 2 years ago. And but now a lot more people are going to see you and know you. And that's really, really cool. So moving forward, let's see, what do you have coming up? You know, we know that you have the Pro Tour Ixalan coming up. Are there any other events that you have on your radar as of right now?
Well, mostly the PT and the World Magic Cup. I think on this December, where I'll be playing for Spain. I think the World Magic Cup is a very special tournament every year. Like, it's not like the biggest one.
Right.
Because it doesn't have a lot of points either. But I think it's a special tournament because you're like playing for like the people from your country. So, and also you're going to be playing teaming with people you may not know a lot, so you have to make friends there. You have to learn how to work with other people that you're not used to work with. And yeah, I mean, I cannot wait for playing the World Magic Cup and see if we can make Spain top 8 one time.
Yeah.
We never got there. Yes.
I know that everyone who we have on from the World Magic Cup, they always speak highly of it. They always love it. They always say it's a great time. So are you the captain? Are you leading pro points in Spain?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
And has Spanish Nationals already happened? Do you know who the other players are?
Yeah, it just happened this weekend. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I know my team. Yeah, I think the team is good. So maybe this time we can get there.
Who are the other two?
They're called Dani Martinez and Pedro Lechado. Cool. They are not very known, but they played some PTs, like I think 3 or 4 each. So they definitely know how to play.
Fun. So how do you? So now that you know your team, what do you do? How do you prepare for a team event with team, you know, new teammates, and what does that look like?
Well, I think I'm going to just wait until obviously the PT comes.
Right.
But after that, I think it's very important for especially for a team event where you play limited, that you make sure all three players are able to play their own games at a decent level. So we'll just talk a lot about limited, just to make sure we know what's going on in all the archetypes. Mm-hmm. And for constructed, I think we'll just wait and probably just see which decks feel better for each kind of player. But that's something you can do on the last days before the tournament.
Okay.
But because you cannot learn how to play limited in 2 days, mm-hmm. but you can learn how to play a constructed deck in like 2 or 3 days. So
okay.
I think we're going to put more weight in limited play overall.
So as the captain, is the pressure kind of on you to come up with like a training plan or whatever? Or how does that... Is that what it feels like for you, or how does that look like?
No, I think it's better when the team works for like all the people on the same level. Mm-hmm. I think it's good to have a captain like for the tournament, because if there are some discrepancies in the tournament, I think it's very good to have talk before the tournament who is going to, you know, take the decision. But in terms of training and deciding stuff or what to do before the tournament, I think it's good to just be on the same level. So I don't want to be the guy telling the other guys what to do. I think I can do that, but they can do that to me too. Like, hey, try this egg, try this whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, really cool. That's a lot of fun. So So Magic full time, doing great at events. You have the Pro Tour coming up, the World Magic Cup, some other Grand Prix mixed in there. So, man, you've just been busy and hopping and learning and growing. So, what do you feel you've learned the most in the last 2 years?
I think I learned a lot when I joined my new team. Like when I got there, I just saw a lot of people. Because I almost didn't know anyone. I got to the team because I talked with Calcano, which was the only one I knew in the team. And you know, I was just suddenly testing with a lot of people I didn't know. And then realized like I had a lot to learn from all these guys. Like every one of them taught me at least some things. Mm-hmm. So this is definitely where I made the big difference.
Cool. So just having that you know, learner mindset, like just opening up your mind and learning from these people and being open to what they're teaching and saying. That's definitely something that you can do at any level. You know, people can do that at their local level at FNM. They can do that at the pro level on their teams and whatnot. And there's always people to learn and grow from for sure. So that's really neat. So as you've been playing, I know we asked you this last time, but I'd love to see if your answer is different now. What is the biggest mistake that you see players make?
Probably not listening enough to people that has something to say. Like this could be your friend that goes with you to BTQ or could be your teammate. But I think that's a mistake that happens a lot. Like there's some information that someone's not using because they don't realize they have access to that information.
How do you, is there a way to recognize some of those gems that you do have or some of the information that you do have that may be underutilized?
Yeah, it's easy to assume you know how a matchup works because you played from one side. Like you play, I'm going to say standard, like mono red against Steamer. But sometimes you only play one side of the matchup and you think you know everything, but it's not after you play the other side of the matchup where you actually know what's really going on. Mm. So I think not knowing the matchup from both sides is a mistake you can make. But talking with someone, you know, you can talk about Magic. If they know the other matchup, you can skip that part of work because otherwise it will take super long to play the matchups from both sides. So I think like talking like, hey, what do you think about this matchup for you? And listen to what they say because sometimes people think like the deck wins a matchup for some reasons, but maybe they win the matchup for very different reasons. And I think, yeah. I think that's something I see happen.
So what are some of the... So when you're talking with somebody else, what are some of the key questions you can ask to get the most out of the conversation, to get a good understanding, because, you know, some questions are, you know, better than others. And so what do you ask? What do you talk about when you're talking to somebody else about, a matchup or standard or just trying to learn?
Well, I think it's good to try to identify the losing patterns and winning patterns. Like when you win the game, why do you think you win the game? Mm. Or why do you think you lose? I think the why. Like because if you ask, like, are you winning or are you losing? It's an answer that's probably not going to be very, you know, productive and also it's going to be result influenced anyway. Mm-hmm. But if you ask for the reason, you ask for the why, then that's how you have to do it. Like, why do you think this matchup is good? Like, which are the best plays you can do or the best cards? Not just you winning, you losing, good matchup, bad matchup. I don't think that's very useful.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And how do you apply what they say? So you say, you know, why do you think you won? And they say, oh, because I, you know, had card X and Y on the battlefield or whatever. And then, so now they've told you this, what do you do about that? Like, how do you actually take that?
Well, if you think that's a card that's very important in the matchup, if you can try to go over it, under it, or have an answer, that's obviously the best thing you can do. But sometimes you cannot change your deck because of one card in one matchup. Mm-hmm. But knowing what the card does might make you play in a different way in certain points of the matchup. So like, even if you don't change your deck at all, knowing how stuff works might make your play better anyway.
I like that. Oh, I think that's really good. You know, asking why did you win? Why did you lose? And just diving into that and really trying to understand, you know, what cards and what sequences led to those events. And then, yeah, making changes and adjustments based on that, you know, the conversation will be good for both sides because then the other person, you know, might recognize things that as they vocalize it that they didn't, you know, realize before and be able to change their play next time and not sequence it that way or whatever. And so I can see that being really beneficial. So focusing on the why when you're talking with people. And again, this is something that you can do at any level. You know, this is practical for FNM to GP to the Pro Tour. You know, this is how you have decent, you know, constructive magic conversations with people. So that's really cool. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. So we talked about some of the mistakes that you see players make and some of the growth that you've had. What have you learned from Magic that you've been able to apply to your life in the last couple of years?
Well, mostly a lot of things, obviously, but think that the other person is going to be thinking too. So if you have a conflict with someone or a tough decision to make that has other people in between, thinking why they might be doing stuff, it's going to be helpful all around.
Yeah. So, realize that the other player is thinking as well. And so in life, consider what other people are thinking, that there is, there's obviously stuff going on that you don't see. And that's definitely, beneficial to keep that in mind as you just navigate life in general. It's pretty neat. So is there anything that... anything that you would like to highlight that you want to talk about that has been interesting or Magic related that you feel that is important to share that you want to get out?
Well, I think one important thing that a lot of people forget, especially when they try to step up like from certain level to another high level, is just forget that it's important to enjoy every step of the way. Yeah, that's something I say a lot to a lot of people, but I think it's still truth and still important and still easy to forget when you're trying to focus in certain targets. So enjoy the way. That's more important, because if you enjoy the way, even if you don't get the step up soon, you'll be winning. So that's it.
I love that. So enjoying the way, enjoying the journey. How have you been able to do that?
Well, I certainly don't have problems enjoying playing Magic, but even for me, sometimes, it's a little bit heavy to play a lot of games in a certain matchup. So what I do, if I feel like I want to play a little bit more, but I don't really want to play the same matchup or something, I just try to play other formats, the flashback draft and Magic Online, or I just call my friends and see if they're doing a cube or any kind of games, because playing Magic still keeps me sharp, but I don't get, stuck on the same game pattern.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. So if you're practicing real hard for a certain format, you can break it up, so you don't get burned out or cross-eyed or whatever. You can play a different format, like you said, a cube or flashback or commander, just something that you can just play and without any pressure. You don't need to, learn a lot or crush the round. You can just play Magic and have a good time. That's a good idea. I just thought of something. Yes. So do you play a lot of Magic Online? Is that mostly where you get your reps in?
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's a great tool, for people all around the world, regardless of their access to, paper or real players or local stores. If you have an internet connection, you can, hop online and practice, get reps in, see what's doing well, practice those decks. And I think it's a great tool that a lot of people can use. So it's pretty neat. What kind of events do you do? Do you just do the daily leagues or?
Yeah, mostly the leagues, and I also play a lot with teammates. Like, we talk and just play one. Like, if you want to test one matchup, we just meet and play a lot of the matchup. So we make sure we know what's going on, and we play the match, and then we talk about impressions from either side. And other than that, I just play leagues. Yes, I don't play that much leagues. I prefer to play, against teammates. But there's a lot of times where I don't have teammates available, so I just try to play draft.
That's an awesome, you both hop on and you can be chatting with each other, via voice or whatever, and then you play and it cuts out all the shuffling time and all that stuff. So you actually get a lot more out of your play session if you do it online than if you like were in person. You still have all this time, shuffling and deck building, all this stuff. But when you do it online, all that is streamlined and you can just kind of move through. And I can see that being a really good use of time.
Yeah, like sometimes, if you want to try a deck, but you don't know if it's going to be good or not, it's faster to build it online. Just try a few matches. Mm-hmm. And then if it works, you can build it like in cards, because it's a little bit slow to, sleeve and sleeve all the deck, build a 75 just to play a game and see, man, this doesn't work.
So totally agree.
It's a lot of time.
Yeah, totally agree. Well, good stuff. So on the topic of standard, is kind of the last thing I want to touch on. So obviously you did well with mono red, but where do you see it right now? Like pirates, vehicles, dinosaurs in standard. Kind of what are your thoughts, your impressions, and if you don't want to share because of the pro tour, I understand. But what you can share, what are your thoughts about standard right now and what's working?
I think it's a very good format right now. I think we had a bad year of standard last year. Or, like, not bad, but playing with marble was mm-hmm. less fun than playing with the creatures we have now, right? So I think no matter what deck you play, the games are usually super fun because there's a lot of interactions. There's a lot of tough situations to play. So I'm definitely enjoying this standard a lot. About the power level of the decks, I don't really know. Like, last year I played Timur on the Nationals, and I felt the deck was super powerful. That's the deck that won World Championships as well. So I think Timur is the best, but I think there's a lot of ways to attack Timur that, you know, just can go over the top or under it. And I think we might see new decks for the PT, cool. to be honest. Because Worlds, everyone was a little bit conservative because no one wanted to have a deck that loses a lot against any matchup. But PT is where people can take some extra risks. I think maybe there we'll see new stuff.
Cool. Very cool. And we've talked about Magic Online, how that's, you know, a good resource for people to use. Do you have any other Magic-related resources that you turn to that you can refer us?
Well, I just try to read all the articles that are available to me. But I think I told that you also the last interview you had. Yeah. That's something I keep doing. Yeah, I just read information and just, well, there's a draft recording stuff. You can record your drafts in the account, game story, and yeah, that tick, autosave the drafts. But other than that, I don't really think there's a lot more to that. Like, just watch information, like, gather all the information you can. That's all I do.
So in Magic Online, you can go and you can check a box that says autosave drafts?
Yes.
Okay. And then after that, it'll save your drafts. So you can go back and refer to it and discuss it with other people and kind of dissect your decisions.
Yeah, that's something. It takes a lot of time, but I think it's, yes.
Huh. That's a really good, that's a really good tool right there. Well, sweet. This has been fun. Like, I love, you know, catching up and just kind of chatting about what's been going on. You know, goes without saying, everybody, sorry, back in episode 47 when he was on, he talks about his intro to the game, his favorite card, favorite set. So that's why we didn't cover that stuff this time, because it's all back in episode 47. This time we were just catching up and learning, you know, and this is really neat to kind of see the growth going from silver to platinum and what that takes. You know, Javier stepped up his game really by focusing on learning, by connecting with players, by talking with them, asking why. Why do you think this works? Why do you think this didn't work? And really diving into that. And by doing that, and consistently playing, obviously he's made a name for himself, platinum player, second at Worlds, just doing a really, really awesome job. So this is really cool. So Javier, I've loved having you back on the show. I want to remind everybody that you're on Twitter at Thale, which I know I'm saying wrong, but it's Thalaiet. And as we close out, Javier, what is one last piece of guidance you have? Something that you've already said you want to emphasize, or something new you want to do with us here at the end?
Make sure you know your constructed deck well before going into an important tournament, because if you don't, you might regret it.
Know your constructed deck inside and out. Javier, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to Multiverse, and thank you again for taking your time and for sharing your experiences with us here on the show. You are still a hero among Planeswalkers. It's awesome looking up to you. It's fun following your progress and seeing you do well. It's been a blast chatting with you. May you never be mana screwed. Always draw what you need and depart every plane victorious.
Thank you.
Javier, thank you so much. Great having you on the show. Prodigies, you can get the show notes at mtgprotutor.com/Javier Dominguez 2, the number 2. And that's because he, of course, has been on the show before. So you can get his first show notes at /Javier Dominguez. And these show notes will be at Javier Dominguez 2, the number 2. So it was great having him on. Isn't it awesome? I love having returning guests. It's fun to catch up with them after 2 years. How cool is that? He's doing much better in Magic and making it his full-time thing. So it's just really fun to kind of go back and see what was going on in his life back then and then catch up with him now 2 years later. So it's really, really cool. Thank you again, Javier. I loved having you on the show. Prodigies, thank you for tuning in. I love interacting with you. I love doing these shows for you. And of course, it wouldn't happen without the patrons. So patrons, thank you so much for your support. Being proud sponsors of the show, make it all happen. And Paragon City Games, to you as well, thank you for your support, especially through the prizes that we give away to the Sealed League winner and one patron each and every month. So that's always fun. Well, stay sharp, my friends. Get out there, play some magic. Ask questions in the group if you have any so you can learn and grow. And good luck again to those going to Grand Prix Liverpool or Grand Prix Phoenix this weekend. Can't wait to connect with you on the next episode. But until then, I'm Sean of The Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.